new international study has revealed that the world is split firmly down the middle about whether technology is making us healthier or making us sick. The Truth About Wellness is an online global study by McCann Erickson, the world's largest ad agency, based on a survey of 7,000 respondents in the US, UK, Brazil, China, Japan, South Africa and Turkey. Well, to reveal more, I'm joined now by Sridhar Venkatapuram, who is a lecturer in global health, and Rodney Collins, Truth Central European Regional Director. Well, Rodney, thanks for joining us. And firstly, can you tell us why the report was commissioned and how was it actually done?
Truth Central is the global thought leadership unit of McCann Erickson. And we have a history of completing quarterly truth studies on a variety of topics. And wellness is increasingly important to many of our clients, as well as consumers.
So what were the key findings from this report?
Well, you know, one of the pieces that is really fascinating is that wellness as an ideology first emerged in the United States in sort of a market enterprise in the 1970s. But today, in 2013, every business is in the business of wellness.
And Sridhar, what were the other findings in the report that you found most interesting?
There's a lot of really interesting answers and information coming out of this study. Some of the things that I found interesting is that people no longer think of health and wellness and well-being as being something that is born out of luck, but something that they actually can do something about and that their environment does affect and their society and their government can do something about. So this is a really important distinction both in societies and around the world, that health is no longer a luck thing. It's actually something that we have in our hands. And so one of the things that I found really funny and interesting is that everybody thinks that they live in the healthiest country in the world. So if you look at the United States, about 50% or more people think that the United States is probably where the healthiest people live. And then most people around the world realize that Japan seems to be really healthy because that's where people heard about the longest lifespan. So they tend to be considered the healthiest. But if you look at all the different countries, they tend to put their country right up next to Japan, and which is, I think, really interesting.
So Rodney, can you give any other examples of how people can take control of their own wellness?
Well, you know, Katie, one of the really exciting things in the wellness industry today is the fact that wellness and the practice of wellness is being gamified. And what I mean by that is that game-like elements are being introduced into sort of practices that lead to a better life. So we're all familiar with Nike Fuel or the Wii fitness programs. But companies like L'Oreal are getting into the game and introducing themselves into Xbox platforms, for instance. We conducted a workshop here in London where one of our participants' groups created an IFAF app. And this IFAF app helps target one of the single greatest barriers to wellness, which is time or time deficiency, by becoming a life coach and sort of rewarding badges and sending notifications. So wellness has become fun.
And in regards to wellness or well-being, what's the age that people, I guess, feel that they are at their peak?
Well, you know, in the UK, it looks as though 34 is the ideal age. So after that, your life is downhill for the Brits. But, you know, if you look at Turkey, it's 23. And then the global average is 34 as well. You know, what's interesting about those figures is that there's a sort of wish to live towards a certain age as well. And people in the UK want to live until they're 91. But what's interesting about that as well is that they see that the real quality of life starts to fade in one's 60s. That's a quite interesting relationship with one's lifespan in that the last third of one's life becomes slightly less well, just as a general state.
And Sridhar, I guess in terms of being able to control your well-being, we're often told what we can do to be healthy. But at the end of the day, how much control do we actually have over how well we are, considering what country we live in or what we do?
So I think another important aspect of this study is that it shows that people understand that wellness is not just about physical functioning or what we consider health. They see wellness and well-being as being encompassing a whole bunch of dimensions, not only your physical well-being, but your psychological well-being. well-being, your personal relationships, your spiritual life, and your financial life. And so within all those domains, people recognize that they have a certain amount of freedom and agency to do something about that. So you can have macroeconomic factors, such as a global recession or a national recession that's affecting, you know, whether you're going to get a raise or whether, you know, what the inflation rate is. But they also know on a day-to-day life that there are these different dimensions that they can do something about. So their nutrition and their exercise and their personal relationships and how they deal with their spiritual questions are all something that people have control over in their life, and they know that this significantly impacts their life and their well-being.
And Rodney, where can people go to see the report findings?
You can find the executive summary of this report and all of our other reports at truthcentral.mccann.com.
Excellent. Well, Rodney Collins and Sridhar Venkatapuram, thank you very much for joining us.
Thank you.